But verse 6 of chapter 4 in Philippians, verses 6 and 7, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing. I'm going to stop there because the word careful in the Greek text means anxious, the word for anxiety. So be anxious for nothing. Now, that word nothing, I know this is going to blow your mind, but it means nothing. But there's also, it actually has a couple more meanings. It means no one or nobody. So let's reread that. Be anxious for nothing, no one or nobody. Well, that puts another perspective on it, doesn't it? But in everything, not in some things, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Two verses that we need to hold on to, not only this time, but every single day. Because there's going to be times in our life when we feel anxious. And it seems like that word fear and anxiety has been brought up over the last few months more than we've ever heard it in the last years and centuries. But we know that this message can apply today, and it'll apply tomorrow, and it applied yesterday in your life, because there are times in our life when simply we need assurance from God, and he gives us that in these verses. These last few weeks have really changed everybody, but it is really, as Pastor mentioned this morning, it's got us out of our normal routine, and I hate to say routine, because it's not like it's a rut. We it's an honor and a privilege to serve this church. It really is. It's I can't explain to you how I love getting up every morning and serving not only the Lord, but the Rubyville Community Church. It's a privilege. But what this has done, we found ourselves with some extra time at the house. And so when, you know, all this was happening, we have a dry erase board at our house, and my wife usually has the schedule of the week, what's happening. And for the first time, and I don't know how long, it was blank, you know, a couple of weeks. You know, that has everyone's schedule, what we're doing as far as revivals, you know, what Abby, what Alex are doing at school, and it was blank. But she has another dry erase board, and guess what's on that dry erase board? Things to do. Okay, so those things to do, it started as merely a paint job in our bedroom. That was what we were going to focus on. And so I thought, well, might as well change my bathroom too. So now we've changed the bathroom. Amazingly, I know I still have all my fingers. I didn't get hurt. I put down flooring in my bathroom. I know you're shocked at that. I am too. And it's actually still down, which is even a greater shock. But we repainted, redid the bedroom, and we're going through all of our stuff. Many of you are doing the same thing. You're going through your things. You're finding things that are broken, things that are, maybe you can, here's the word, repurpose them. Okay? Samuel Lohr's wife, Rebecca, I didn't realize she did all this, but she has a great talent for repurposing furniture. And she's taken old furniture people are throwing away and turning it into beautiful pieces, functional pieces of furniture. And so I was, this has been, you know, we've been going through all this. And it reminded me, you know, there are, when life hits, we find ourselves being broken and busted. And we find ourselves dealing with this harsh reality. And many of you that are watching and hearing us tonight, you are broken. And you are broken inside. Maybe the outside doesn't seem to be broken, but on the inside you are broken and you are busted. It's like, you know, we were going through some things. We found a lot of stuff that our kids used to have, and we call them keepsakes, you know. Nursery rhyme books, things like that. And of course, all your minds flood with memories. But you remember those old nursery rhymes we used to tell our kids, and we even grew up with them ourselves. But you remember the nursery rhyme, Humpty Dumpty, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty back together again. And I always thought, well, why in the world is he sitting on a wall that close to the edge in the first place? But, you know, it's just a funny little, it's fiction. It's rhyme. It's to be cute. But in reality, we're dealing with reality. And some of us are truly broken. Why? Because we're dealing with real things. Pain is real. Anxiety is real. War is real. Tension is real. Terrorism is real. Heartache is real. Depression is real. Sickness, suffering, sorrow, setbacks, they're all real. Troubles, tests, trials, they're all real. Pressure, hard times, death, danger, all of these things, they're not fiction, they're not a fairy tale, they're not a nursery rhyme. We have to live in this reality, and many of us are broken. And when are we going to realize at any point in life, our lives can be broken? Our lives can go through times of testing and trial. It doesn't matter how long you've been in church. It doesn't matter how many days you read your Bible in a row. It don't matter how many prayers you pray. None of us are exempt from life happening to us. And listen, the thing is, we have to understand, at any point in time, we can be knocked off that wall that we're sitting on. So that's why it's very important to understand, don't look down at others that are going through trial, because tomorrow you can be knocked off the wall, and you can be broken, and you can be battered. Many of you tonight, you're broken, you're bruised on the inside. But listen, if that would be the end of the message, it'd be awful sad. But I got good news for you. Thank God there's someone that can put you back together. You can look at the things of this world and search for ways to repurpose your life. But hallelujah, the only one that can do it and put it all back together is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the one that we need to turn to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as we've preached so many times from this book, we love to preach out of this book and love to read out of it. Paul was in, we know he was in prison, and the Philippian church heard about this, and so he was waiting trial, so they sent him support through Epaphroditus. And so Paul couldn't return the favor, but the way he did it was he wrote him a letter, and he acknowledged them and let them know, despite what you go through, don't worry, don't be afraid, don't be anxious for nothing, no one, or nobody, because there is a remedy to get you through. There is a way that God can put you back together. And how does he do that? He does that in these verses. Number one, I want you to notice the way God puts us back together is, number one, by prayer. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. In everything by prayer. I love how people think that prayer is when we inform God of what our problems are. Newsflash, he already knows. Prayer is not us giving God information. Prayer is about God giving inspiration to us through prayer. And that's what he does. Prayer is not about us telling God what's going on in our lives. Why? Because he already knows what's going on in our lives. Prayer is not about God. It's all about us. Because when we point our prayers to him, you know what he's saying? He's up there on his throne. You go, oh my, I didn't know you were going through that. Of course he knows what you're going through. He already knows you're sick. He already knows you don't have a job. He already knows you need money. He already knows what the doctor has said. He already knows what your diagnosis is. He already knows your wife or your husband's about ready to leave. He knows your marriage is in trouble. He knows your kids aren't saved. He knows what your kids are going through. I'm telling you, there's not anything in your life that God doesn't know about. He knows everything that's going on in your life. So when we pray, it's not about us informing God of our problems. It's about God inspiring us to let us know we have someone to go to and that he can put us back together. He says by prayer, and we could go on and on about prayer, but let me hurry on because I got three or four points. But he says everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Here it is. Let your request. So not only is he putting us back together because of prayer, but also he's putting us back together to help us understand this is a personal relationship. He says, let your requests. This is personal. This is personal. And I know we say it a lot, but have you ever really took the time to consider? And I guess this is what really has touched me the last few weeks is the fact that he's a personal Savior. He knows everything that's going on in my life. But he, as Pastor preached this morning, these messages go right along with each other. He cares and loves me enough to take care of my problems personally. And when I pray to him and acknowledge who he is, he personally will come and take care. Now, this is important. Why? Because Paul understood that this Philippian church needed this admonishment. Because up until Jesus Christ, prayers didn't get answered personally. Before Jesus Christ, the way they would take care of it is that they would have sins and they would have their request. And every year they would go and they would take their sacrifice to a priest. And that priest would take that sacrifice and then he would enter into the temple. And you have heard this story and you know all about it, but please bear with me for a second. They would enter into that veil. They would go behind the veil and there would be an altar there called the mercy seat. They would apply that sacrifice and the sacrifice would be accepted by God. And then as the sacrifice was accepted, the sins or the requests of the people would be taken care of for one year. But thank God when Jesus came, the ultimate sacrifice, because see, there was not enough blood of lambs or bullocks or turtle doves to take care of the sins of the world. They only took care of them for a season. But when Jesus came, he took care of it for eternity. Because the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second, with the high priest alone, once a year, not without blood, which he offered up for himself and for the heirs of the people. But Christ being come a high priest of greater things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither with the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us all. And when Christ was hung between heaven and earth on Calvary, and he said those words, it is finished, he became the ultimate sacrifice. And what happened? The Bible says the ground began to shake and the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. That means there had to no more mercy seat, no more sacrifices. Everyone had personal access to the throne of God when the veil was rent from top to bottom. And because it was rent from top to bottom, that means, thank God, it came from God. It was ordained by God. And God's the one who's going to fix your problems. If it was ripped from bottom to top, that meant man had a hand in it. But thank God your requests aren't going to be answered and you ain't going to be put back together again by man. No, thank God. Thank God your answer is going to come from top to bottom. Hallelujah. You're going to be put back together again from top to bottom. He says everything you need is going to come from the top to the bottom. And that's the way we need to be healed. Some of us are praying for healing in our body. But what we need to pray for is, God, heal me from top to bottom. Thank God it starts up here and it works its way down. That's when the oil that was poured on Aaron, it went down his head, down his beard, even the skirts of his garment. And that's what I've been praying the last week. I said, Lord, anoint me, touch me, heal me. But do from the top to the bottom. That way I know every single bit's covered and I'm put back together because of your power and your spirit. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Amen. He's a personal Savior and he personally takes care of my problems. He says we're going to be put back together because of prayer and that he's personal. But look at this now. Not only that, but our petition. Because prayer and request are two different things. The word petition, actually the word request here in the Greek actually means petition. And so this got my mind rolling. And I began to think about making petition. making petition. And I was just searching out some things, doing some research in my Strong's Concordance, like us preachers like to do. And my thoughts and the Spirit directed me to the word appeal. The word here, petition or request, the same word that we get the word appeal. Appeal, making appeal. And so then my mind went to the court system. If someone makes an appeal to a judge, makes an appeal, or they're guilty, found guilty of a crime, and what they're facing, they aren't really happy with the decision that was made. So what they have to do, they have to petition the court. But here's what I found to be interesting. They don't petition the same court that they just came out of. They have to go to a higher court. They have to make their request to a higher court, because the higher court has authority over the lower court. And so that, well, this, I'm not treated fair. I've been broken. I don't know where to go. I need to make an appeal. So they will go and actually hire a lawyer to represent them on behalf of the lower court, but they will be presented in the upper court. They will take their request. Now, what I found to be interesting, there's not a lot of oral arguments when it comes to this. In fact, what they do is they hire a lawyer, listen now, that's well-versed in writing and research. Because what they do is when they go through the appeal process, they actually write a brief. And they said the brief sometimes gets so long that it looks like a book when it's handed to the upper court. And I thought, hallelujah, I was guilty of a crime. I didn't like the way I was being treated by this world and the courts of this world, so to speak. But thank God I made an appeal to a higher court. Hallelujah. And I hired a lawyer. And I said, Jesus, will you go to God on my behalf? And he began to write down the research. He began to write it down and he put it in a book. And he presented it to the Father. And hallelujah, guess what? When the Father looks at me, he don't see me. He don't see my sins. No, he sees the book. He sees the blood. And he sees the blessed hope. Aren't you thankful tonight that when we make our appeal to God, he says, I'm not going to turn you away. I'll hear your requests. Hallelujah. That's how we get put back together. We pray. But we understand it's a personal relationship. But then we petition. We make an appeal. But then finally, notice what he says. After I do all these things, and in order to put you back together, the final ingredient is this: peace. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Peace. You know what the Lord showed me? Paul did not say he would answer your prayer. No. Paul told the Philippians, when you're making your request and you're praying, what you're doing is you're acknowledging that God has the prerogative to not answer your request. When we come to him and we appeal to him, we're at the mercy of the higher court. We're at the mercy of God the Father. And notice, Paul didn't say when you make your request that he will give you exactly what you requested. No, he said he'll give you peace that passeth all understanding. That word peace in that text right there, it does not mean the absence of trouble. It doesn't mean serene. It doesn't mean calm. What it means is to put back as one. You know what God was saying? You let me handle what you're going through. You let me take your brokenness. Let me take your burdens Let me take your trials and let me put them back as one. And see, there are many things that I've prayed for. Selfish, unselfish. I prayed for both, I guess. But I've resigned to the fact that at the end of every prayer, I'd always say, Lord, if it's your will. It's not just something that our ancestors used to say, if it be the Lord's will. No, that's Bible. Everything we should request and pray for, we should say, if it be your will. And what I found to be true, he may not give me what I was desiring or what I was looking for or the answer I was expecting, but he always gave me peace. He always put me back as one. And I couldn't understand it. I thought, boy, I should be in a lot worse mess than I am right now, but it'll be okay. I don't know how in the world I'm going to pay the bills at the end of the month, but I got peace. I don't know how all this is going to turn out, but I've got peace. Boy, don't we need peace right now? There are some of you that need peace. You have no idea how you're going to handle. Forget about tomorrow. You don't know how you're going to handle the rest of today. You need peace.